Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to go to Holy Ghost headquarters first. Thank you, guys. I hope that I can keep this in a way that will bring honor to the Holy Spirit as we celebrate Him. And I want to call this message today, Do You Believe This? Because sometimes we go through this life, we've heard this story for so long, we just go along with it. You know, it's just kind of old hat. We appreciate it, we love it, but I just want us to dig in today and see what the Spirit of the Lord would bring us. Acts chapter 2. All right, well, I want to tell you today, in case you haven't heard, I've told you before that we are Christmas people, aren't we? Are we Christmas people? Oh, yes, we are, because we believe that Jesus came to this earth as a baby and grew up. That makes us Christmas people. We are also Easter people, right? Some say it's a pagan holiday. Not for us. No. We believe that Jesus died on the cross and He rose from the grave. He was resurrected. So that makes us the Easter people. Well, I want to add the third one today and say we are the people of Pentecost. Somebody ought to clap your hands for Jesus. We are people of the Pentecostal experience. We believe that the Holy Ghost came to earth just like Jesus said He would. He told His disciples, now Jesus and the disciples, they had all lived under the law of Moses. So, in the Old Testament, it deals with God, or I should say, it reveals God in the Old Testament all the way through. God spoke to the kings, the priests, and the prophets. Okay, so individual people didn't hear from God, but the kings, priests, and prophets did. So, He was revealed in the Old Testament, and then there was a different dispensation of time when Jesus came along. And when Jesus came to earth, this is the age of grace. When Jesus came in, that changed everything from BC to AD. There was no other little g God that had time changed because He was born. But when Jesus came, even time had to change itself, and men recognized it during that day. So in the Old Testament, God revealed. In the New Testament, Jesus, the Son of God, was revealed all the way through the New Testament. He walked and He talked with men. He died like a man. He was resurrected, but that's going to happen to us. He ate like men. He ran with men. He fished with them. He talked with them. He got baptized. And so Jesus was revealed as the Son of God. But Jesus told His disciples when He was having communion with them on the last day before He died that evening, He said, this is the last time that you and I will have communion together. And so He talked to them about the bread and about the cup. And He said, I won't do this again until you all meet with Me in heaven one day at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But He said, so for now, what I'm going to have you do, because I'm leaving, and I can't even imagine how these people thought that they would be able to function. They'd been with this man now, after He was revealed, for 3.5 years, walking on earth with Him, seeing His miracles and all that He did. Now He's leaving them. And they must have been a panic-stricken group. But He said, now you go on up to the upper room, and you wait in Jerusalem. You wait in the upper room and wait for the promise of the Father. And they wasn't quite sure what the promise of the Father was. But the promise of the Father was the coming of the Holy Spirit. To not only, as God was in the Old Testament, it says that the Spirit would come upon them. He would talk to the kings, priests, and prophets. But Jesus could only see a few people at a time. But this Holy Spirit that was coming, they didn't know how awesome it was going to be. But Jesus told them, and they did what he said. He was telling about 500 people. There was a crowd of about 500, and he says, go wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Well, obviously, about 380 got tired of waiting, and after about 10 days, they took off, but in 10 days, the Holy Spirit came. So I want you to begin to look at that in Acts chapter 2. So now when we get into Acts chapter 2, the book of Acts and all of the epistles, they all now introduce the Holy Spirit. So if you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, read from Acts on and you'll read all about him. Let me just show you a little picture of how it happened in case some of you have never read this before. Many of you have, but I want us to read the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 2. This is what we are celebrating right here. This little passage of scripture, this is what Christians all over the world celebrate on the day of Pentecost. Chapter 2, verse 1, Acts. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from where? Heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one of those tongues set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of them speak in our own language in which we were born? They're saying, how can that be? We're from Turkey. We're from Greece. We're over here. They're there. They're Galileans. They don't speak like this. They were speaking a foreign tongue or another language by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at, I want you to go over, because there's many churches today and many doctrines that say, well, you know, that's good, but that was only for the disciples. That's all that was for. So don't get so jazzed about it. That's all it was. It was just for them. It's not for us down here in 2025. Well, let's take a look at that. Let's see verse 38 and 39 in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. And then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, look at this. This changes everything from that doctrine I just told you about that said it was for there. Look at verse 39. For the promise is to you, disciples, and to your children, and to, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, and as many as the Lord our God will call. How many in this room is called today? All right, so he said, this is not only to you disciples and all of you that have gathered, all of these guys, they were panicky, they were amazed. He said, it's to you. And Joel said, and to your children and your children's children. And then it said, to those who are far off. Well, that meant other nations. And I think that you and I are pretty far off, don't you think? After about 2,000 years, I mean, we're way, way down the road. And he said, not only those that are far off, but this promise is also to those who are called of God. So if you're saved today by the blood of Jesus, you're washed in the blood of that perfect lamb, then you know what? This promise is to you too. And it's the greatest thing that could have ever, ever happened to the church. All right, let's go back, Kathy, back one verse. I want you to go back chapter 2, but look at verse 12. Now, I can see some of this happening today. It still happens in every generation. Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed. That means confused or mixed up. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, well, they're full of new wine. Somebody say amen. They're full of new wine. For those of you that's been in Porterville for years, you know there used to be an old bar that sat on this corner, right about where the church sits, maybe in the middle of the acreage. But this old bar was called the Log Cabin. I remember it when I was a little girl. It's called the Log Cabin. And so the man died, and his widow stayed there, and she served the old wine to the people of Porterville. And when we had our anniversary, I think the first anniversary of celebration, the man who sold us this land, he came and he remembered that story. And he said, I want to tell you today, and the whole church, I mean, we were packed. It just erupted in praise. And Leonard Taylor said this, one day there was an old bar here, and a widow served old wine. But he said, now we've got another landmark. See, the kids said, no, don't tear that log cabin down. It's a land. They literally said, don't tear it down because it's a landmark in our city. Isn't that amazing? Leonard Taylor says, now we have another landmark, another widow serving new wine. They called the old wine the spirits. And what are we celebrating today? The Holy Spirit. So we are here to drink up, drink our new wine, and enjoy it. Amen. Now, let me tell you, I'm done reading here in Acts chapter 2. But when he came, it wasn't temporary. You all know that. It wasn't a temporary thing. God said, well, I'm just going to send him down there for a while to help the few disciples out. No, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when Jesus was telling the disciples to go up and wait, he talked to them. At one point, he says, and when the Holy Ghost comes in, he will give you power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he'll give you power to be a witness. How is it today, then, that you and I can get so shy or embarrassed or intimidated to witness to somebody? Okay, he said, now when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll give you power to be a witness. And then Jesus told them something. Now listen, they believe this. He said, this Holy Spirit, I'm going away. And it's very, very important. He used the word in the old King James. It's expedient or very important for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. And when he comes, he will not just be with you like I've been with you, but he will be, I'm glad he said this, he will be with you and he will be in you. Don't act like Presbyterians in here this morning, folks. He said, not only will he be with you, he will be in you, and he's in us. And sometimes we act like we are little orphans running around. We don't know. Now, I got in trouble, and you know I tell on myself all the time, and I debated whether I should tell you this, but I'll go ahead. So I went to get a shot in my knee the other day, and it just felt so good to get a shot in the knee, in the bones. And so David was upstairs getting some blood work or something. I know we're not falling apart. We're all right. So he and the kids came down and came in where I was. And so they waited there for me. Well, when we walked out, there were some people from the reservation that my husband used to work cattle with. And so they were sitting out there. And the man that I've known for years that my husband worked with, he's sitting there with one of those, he's in a wheelchair, and he's sitting with a blue bag. You know what that blue bag means, don't you? He was so sick. And so they said, hello, hi, Paulette, hi. And so we went over to talk to them, and I said, well, it doesn't look like you're feeling very well. Oh, no, he said, I've been really sick. And I said, well, let me pray with you. I said, can I pray with you? And we're right out in front of that Pearson Clinic, right outside the front door. Well, what were they going to say? They couldn't get away. He's in a wheelchair. He's sick. So I said, well, do you mind if I pray? And they said, oh, no. His wife said, no, come on. So we prayed. I prayed a short prayer, I thought. The kids and David were there, and we prayed for him, went our way. So I got home, and not very long after I was home by myself, I heard these words in my spirit, and I believe the Lord really corrected me, and I'm glad he did for this message today so I can drive this point home and not act like I'm perfect and you're the one with the issues, all right? I don't ever want to do that. We've all got our stuff. Okay, so the Lord says to me, and I knew it was him, it was a gentle rebuke, saying, you know, that prayer you prayed for him was pretty religious. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And you know, I knew exactly what he meant. I didn't have to ask him. I didn't say, what are you talking about, God? I prayed for him right out there in front of everybody. It was just like that. Didn't have to have any discussion about it. I knew what he meant. You think that was a little bit religious? And I said, yes, it was. It sure was, Lord. He said, you know, he would have understood better if you would have said, sickness, you leave his body now in the name of Jesus. And hugged his neck in Jesus' name, amen, and go your way. Be careful how we pray when we're downtown, when you're at Save Mart. Now, I didn't have a prayer meeting. I didn't go on and on and on. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is there. And it wasn't me to do the work anyway. Okay, what was I going to do? So, I haven't heard from him. But I'm just saying, the Holy Spirit was with us. And he was in me. And he gave us power. So the Holy Spirit obviously wanted to do something there. He wouldn't have put me in the path. But God was probably gracious and healed him anyway. But I do want to say this after I just said that, okay, he is here to stay with us. And I want you to know, we are not just little insignificant Christians running around down here. We're not insignificant people. We're not insignificant. Our lives mean something. We aren't down here as Christians just trying to be nice. I'm just trying to be nice. You don't have to try to be nice. Well, we just try to be nice. I try to pray over here. We pray a little here and there. Pray for somebody now. I pray for somebody then. It's not about this insignificant life of just going to church and praying for people now and then, or being nice. But it's about not living that insignificant life and forgetting about who we are and forgetting that Jesus is coming back and forgetting that his Holy Spirit lives and moves and dwells in us. But he says, I want to use you every day, everywhere, anytime, all the time. If you will let me, just anywhere, all the time. And he said, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't tell anyone. Well, I just feel like God told me I feel like I need to pray for you. They didn't need to know all that. I didn't tell him that either. I said, can I pray for you? See, and then sometimes they can't get away. But just go ahead and be everything that we can be for him. But keep it simple, because he's not a complicated God. He isn't complicated. Jesus was never complicated. Everything he did, he even told stories. He was a storyteller.
The Bible said he spoke in parables, and without parables did he not speak. He didn't even preach. He didn't even talk to a farmer, to a fisherman, unless he told them a story. He wanted them to be able to understand. He's not looking for theologians. He's not looking for philosophers. He's not impressed with you. He is not impressed with me. He's not impressed with us, so who are we trying to impress? Just in case, okay? I just want us to keep this simple because he came down here to help us, church. He came here to help us. Amen. And let me go a little farther here. God, here's what I heard in my spirit about 5 o'clock this morning. God didn't send him down here to make us powerless, and he certainly didn't send him down here to make us more like the world. Why would he come to make us fit in with this world? You don't have to worry about fitting in. You don't have to worry about people accepting you or this, that, or the other. No, it isn't about people accepting us, putting on a show for people. Well, they're like, no, they don't need a show from you. They need a show from the Holy Spirit. That's what they care about. Do you love me? Do you care about me? Pray for me. Get me healed in Jesus' name. So Jesus came to forgive us and cleanse us, and the Holy Spirit came to empower us, to make us stronger. Not to make us weaker, but make us stronger. He's not looking for a powerless church or a powerless man of God or a powerless woman of God. He wants every one of us, Gracie, Jalissa, all of you young people, he wants you a little powerhouse in Jesus' name. Every one of us, just with your personality, who you are. He says, I came on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, and I haven't lost an ounce of my power. The only difference is my people got set in their ways, and they got so familiar with the story. Are we over familiar with it? Do you think we could be over familiar with hearing this story? I think we are. I think we just get too familiar with him and with the Holy Spirit and with the glory of God. Because if you don't believe it, you should come up here sometimes. And during worship, people are so familiar with the songs and with worship. You have a handful of people worshiping or more at Landmark. We do pretty good with worship to God. But some people, I swear, I don't even think they know we're worshiping. If anybody walks down, they're looking at them, they've got to watch everything going on, and nobody sees anything. I remember when my little Jamie was a little girl, she had some new clothes, and she had some little red underwear with little ruffles on the back. Well, worship was going on, and she tapped the sister next to her and pulled her dress up and said, look at my new underwear. She wanted her to see the red ruffles. And sometimes I think it's kind of like that in the church for people that are just too familiar. Worship's not that big a deal to me. It's him, church. Remember, this is why we come. It's for him. And the Holy Spirit wants to work through you and in you while we're in this room. While the offering's being taken, he wants to touch you. While the word's going forth, he wants to touch you. Who knows what could happen when one of those songs are going forth? Did you ever hear one of those songs going on and you get one little clip of that song and that thing goes into your heart and it cuts you like a two-edged sword? That's the word of the Lord. That's why I've got to tell you, it is so important that we worship, that we come for him. You don't care what anybody else is doing. You give it all to him. I don't want to take one ounce of his glory. Don't receive it. He's not going to share it. He's just not going to share it with anyone. Now look, I looked up the word apathy. Because I believe, not just me, I won't take credit for this. I heard a brother on TBN say the other day, I believe he's very credible. He said, God has said to me, and you can see it. He said, I'm an evangelist. I go everywhere. But there is a spirit of apathy over the church. A spirit of apathy over the church. I believe there is. I believe we're all too sleepy, don't you think? I think we just get too sleepy and too tired. The word apathy means this. Listen. A lack of interest. A lack of enthusiasm. A lack of concern. A lack of emotion. A lack of interest. A lack of interest about something. And you can watch people that used to be excited about the things of the Lord. If you talk to them, it's more negative than positive. Well, I don't want to get off on that. But I'm saying apathy makes people powerless. It will make us powerless and sleepy and who cares? Well, you're not going to get this atmosphere. You're not going to get the worship. You're not going to get the altar time. You're not going to get that out here. Out there. Here is the only place you'll get that, or in another church somewhere in Porterville. And if you say, Pastor, I don't get fed here. I don't like, well, then go somewhere else, but get your soul fed. But get in that church, because that's the only place that we'll get what we get today. Now, somebody may bring a word better than me. Well, let them feed you, but get there. And I don't know of anyone that could worship any better than this praise team. I don't know of a band that would be better or singers. Not in Porterville. I'm not bragging, but I think they're the best. But we are not even here for that. We are here to give him glory. Amen? All right, all right. And I just want to say, I don't want to be dazed to spiritual things. I don't want to be dazed to any of it. I want to be awake. I want to be awake to the spiritual things. Now look, can I encourage you with this? When you see someone, you don't have to know them, but you know what? We sing that little song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you." And if we will be aware, the Holy Spirit moving on us, you could be anywhere in this town, maybe at the post office, and you think it's much more embarrassing than it is or out of place. But I want to encourage you to expect the Holy Spirit to meet you where you are. And if somebody starts talking to you about their back hurting, excuse me, their leg hurting, they're going through a divorce or they're hurting somewhere, just be brief. Say, would you mind if I just say a prayer for you? Don't give them a chance to answer. Just say, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, bring her out, Lord. They'll help her get through this fire. Just help her. And they will go away. That's all. That's all. That's all. Don't make a scene. Just right there in Jesus' name. Because what happens if we're in Porterville, and I really feel this in my spirit, that there's a spirit of healing that's coming upon those in this house, because I know you. You are a faithful, faithful people. You're faithful givers. You're faithful with your attendance. And he doesn't do it because of that. But I know that you hear what your pastor is telling you. And so I'm just saying, step out on your faith. And just say that quick prayer for somebody. You don't even have to know. You may never hear again what happened to them. But at least you did it. They knew somebody talked to God for them. And if you need to practice, well, practice on your cat or practice on your dog. In the name of Jesus, you demon, get out of that cat, you know, whatever. Just practice. And when you pray more, it just comes natural. It'll just come out. It'll be so simple. Some of you that are so timid, you're so quiet, you say, Pastor, I've never prayed for anyone. Well, how hard is that going to be? That is going to be so simple for you to say, I just want to pray for you. Lord, take this headache away. Don't let her have another headache in Jesus' name. That's all. Go. How many will think on that? How many just might do it? That means we got to pay attention and we got to put our faith where our heart is. And I want to tell you, because the Holy Spirit came, we are not of this world. We're not, we're in it, but we're not of it. Let me show you who we are real quick. Look, Ephesians 2:9. Follow me real close here. We're going to go fast, Kathy. Ephesians 2:9. Here's who you are. I was just with Sergio and Regina the other day. Got a chance to take them out to Sunday lunch. And we were talking about citizenship. They had become citizens of America a few years ago. And it was so interesting. I wanted to hear about it. And then to get this morning, I just want to tell you who you are, just in case you think you belong to this world. We know this is why it's just so awkward to you down here. Look, Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. So he's saying now, at one point, you were a citizen of the world before you were saved. You belonged to them, you ran with them, you talked like them, you acted like them, but the Holy Spirit didn't come and Jesus didn't give his blood on Calvary for us to stay just the way we were. If you're not changed, you need to get changed today. And Jesus' blood will change you, and the Holy Spirit will come and empower you to help you get through this life and be powerful as you go through. So he said, now I just want to tell you who you are. Oh, no, you are no longer strangers of heaven. Okay, you're not strangers with us. You're not strangers, you're not foreigners, but you're fellow citizens in heaven. That's where we are, church. We're citizens of heaven. With who? Oh, with all the saints. With Daniel, Moses, Paul, Peter, Elijah, Elisha. You are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. All of those that have gone before us, all of those that have died and gone, and the body of Christ around the world today, we are a part of the entire body. He says you're a part of the household of faith. That's why sometimes it is awkward where you are, but all I can say is you just be you. You be just you. You don't have to argue with anyone. You don't have to try to present your case unless they want to talk about it. But just, you know, if they want to argue, don't do that either. Just talk once, and then the Bible says twice. After that, realize they're a heretic and leave it alone. That's what the Bible calls them, a heretic. So, just to tell you, no, we're not a part of this world. But apathy, that we just said, no interest, doesn't have any part in heaven. So just so you'll know, we're citizens of heaven and a part of those beautiful people. We're fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. So there's no apathy in that world. So if you feel yourself starting to get sleepy to the spiritual things and lethargic to the spiritual things, we'll just come back over, get back in the presence of the Lord and say, Father, could you wake me up? And let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does. He came to wake us up. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. One of my favorite verses. Oh, it's always been my favorite. I love this because I've had to call on it so many times. And so will you after you get this in your heart. Oh, Romans 8, 11. I want you to see it. Kathy, give me a nod when it's up. Okay, look. One of these days we'll have one of those back there so I can see. Okay. Can you read this with me? Because it's so important. But if the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of Him, God the Father, raised Christ from the dead, dwells where? Remember what He did. It was the Spirit of God. He raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you. Then what? He who raised Christ from the dead will also, somebody say also, give life to your mortal bodies. What? To my body? Oh, yeah, it's this thing that gives us the trouble. So, but he says, now see, Jesus was all in that tomb, all alone, all by himself. Do you ever think about that? He's just in there so alone. He is so dead. I mean, he is just dead. Nobody's in there with him. And all of a sudden, he wakes up. How does he wake up on his own? Well, it just told us. But if the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in us, then that same Spirit, that Spirit, who is the Spirit? The Spirit is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of Jesus. So that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, I love this part. He didn't have to put it there, but he did. He said, look, he will also quicken. Oh, that's old King James. What's a new King James word? Huh? He will. Yeah. He will also give life. Yeah. He will also give life. The Old Testament says he'll quicken. That means wake. He'll do it to you. Also means you too, right? Me too, you too. So he said, we know it was the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead. And so if he did, and he dwells in us, he said, guess what? He'll do it for you too. What? You mean I'm half dead? I don't know, Pastor. I'm just dragging along. I'm just dragging. We were teasing before church about the old song, When the Saints Come Marching In, we used to sing. I said, now it's When the Saints Come Dragging In. When the saints come dragging in. If we start dragging, he says, hey, I'll quicken your mortal body too. Your old body is tired. It's overworn. Your mind, our minds just have so much to think about. We got family. You've got businesses. We got church. We have stuff. You have school. And our minds are just, no wonder we get in such an apathetic, is that a word, state. But he says you don't have to, because he'll bring you up from the dead too. He'll resurrect us. Somebody say amen. He'll resurrect us from the grave. Hallelujah. Through the Spirit that dwells in us. Insignificant people, are you kidding me? We are not insignificant. We have the Holy Spirit of God himself living in us. How much better can it get? How much more powerful can it be? And he said, he understands you and he loves you. I know you may think I'm picking on you this morning. I'm not. But if I am, God knows the difference. He knows why you are the way you are. He knows why I'm the way I am. And he said, I'll help you with it. I'll go ahead and help you with it. You're not insignificant. You're the children of God. We're adopted. And his Spirit is living in us. Now listen to verse 5. Go back down to verse 5. 8 and 5. I'm just about through here. For those who live according to the flesh, do what? They set their minds. My mind is set on that thing. It set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So if you wonder why you're lust-ridden or competition-ridden or whatever you are, if you're wondering why that happens, could it be that you are flesh-minded and you set your mind on it? Whatever you set your mind on, worry, strife, jealousies, whatever you set your mind on, he said, oh, don't worry about it. You'll fulfill that. You'll just go ahead. If you set your mind on things of the flesh, you'll live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the Spirit, you'll have the things of the Spirit. So think about him now and then, church. I know you're busy. But take your Bible to work with you. Read it now and then. Pull it off your phone. But he'll help you with it. Okay, and I'm going to close with this. Because remember the name of my message? It was called, Do You Believe This? I'm asking you right now, do you believe what I'm telling you? Okay, good answer. Good answer. Jesus asked Martha that same question. That's where I got that title. Jesus asked Martha, he said, do you believe this? Let me show you John 11, 25, 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he says to her, do you believe this? And she goes on to say, of course I do. I know you'll be resurrected, because he was there to resurrect her brother. But he just said, I am the resurrection and I am life. Jesus doesn't just have life in him. He is life. This is why we have life, because he has life. And so he says, if you live and you believe in me, you won't ever die. So if we get lethargic and you feel like you're just dragging along, almost dead, he said, no, you won't die. Though you be sleepy, I'll get you up and I'll cause you to live. I'll resurrect that old body that bothers you all the time. And one more thing, this ought to encourage you, Isaiah 10:17. Isaiah 10:17. So the light, look at that capital L, that shows deity. So the light of Israel will be for a what? A fire. And his Holy One for flame. It will burn. What? The flame will burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. I love these banners. Dee, thank you for getting these Pentecost banners for us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. Look at this one. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I love it. But look what it says here. Leave that Isaiah 10:17 up. So the light of Israel will be for a fire. And his Holy One for a flame. That's the Holy Spirit. And what came on them in the upper room? Tongues of fire set upon them all. Well, we think it set on their head. Could have set on their lap or wherever it set. Tongues of fire set upon every one of them. So Isaiah's prophesying here by the word of the Lord. So the light of Israel, who is Jesus, he was born there, will be for fire. Fire. And his Holy One, the Holy Spirit, for flame. It will burn and devour what? His, remember this, his thorns. His thorns. What was his thorn made, his crown of thorns? Remember that? He wore the crown of thorns so that you and I could have all of our thorns and all of our briars, as it says right there. He said, I'll destroy them in one day. I believe he destroyed them in 1 hour. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when Jesus touched you? How long did it take him to set you free? How long did it take him to burn up your thorns and your briars? About like that. You came to the altar or wherever you were. He saved you. And those old briars and thorns that you used to grow like weeds in you and take over your life, they were gone in a minute. He said he'll do it one day. The flame of the Holy Spirit church is still burning. He's still burning in his church today. And he wants us to burn with him. Would you stand with me this morning? Do you believe this? Oh, Lord, wake us up. Lift up both hands to him, Lord. You said you would do it for us also. You would resurrect us. Set a flame about the body of Christ. Lord, I say with everybody, yes, you pointed it out, as the brother said on TBN. We've heard this story for 2,000 years now. No telling how far it may have changed, but it's still the same. It's relevant to this hour. And Lord, your word awakens us every time we read it. But we understand that there is a true awakening. And every time, Lord, that we may forget for a week or a day to look for your coming, Lord, you say, awaken, awaken, awaken my people, that the flame might be burning bright in you. That flame is still burning, church. The flame is still burning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we praise you today. You are a mighty God. Hallelujah. Chris, give us a worship song. Well, Father, we thank you for this wonderful time with you.
Help us not to forget your work, Holy Spirit. You came to earth 2,000 years ago and you've not gone away. You said, I will never leave you and I will never, ever forsake you. I'll be with you wherever you go. You can never leave me. If you go here, I'm there. If you go there, I'm there. I'll be wherever you go. But don't frustrate grace. Stay with me. Keep your feet under my table. So, Father, we give you praise for this beautiful day. We celebrate you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his countenance toward you and give you peace. And I pray that the peace will be upon you and your mind, your family, your business, and all that pertains to you. And may healing flow through your body, Brother Ken. May healing flow through every one of you that it needs to flow through right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you say amen? God bless you. Thank you for being with us today.